Amen. Let the saints be joyful before Him. Holy is the Lord. What a joy to be together this morning. God bless you all for coming, sharing together here today. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 for an opening scripture here together. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, indeed you are the holy, holy, holy God. And Father, we do worship you. We do wait before you, Lord. We do seek your face, Lord. We do seek for a blessing from your presence. Father, today we just do thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather to seek your face together. We have the Word of God. We can open our Bibles. We can read. We can hear. And Father, we do ask in Jesus' name that you, by your Holy Spirit, would quicken your word to our hearts. And Father, we pray that your word would have free course. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to each one of us here today, including myself, all of us together, Lord, that we may behold your glory, your beauty, and be changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Father, I pray you would grant me utterance. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free course here in each heart, Lord. Thank you. Father, I pray that today the saints would be ministered to. Each one here today would be nourished and fed from your good hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I'd like to share a message on harmony. The scriptures here in Philippians 2, in verse 2 say, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. And that speaks of harmony. It speaks of living in harmony and being in unity of purpose and spirit and being in full accord and of harmonious mind and intention and purpose. Paul says, fulfill ye my joy. You know, I believe it brings great joy to the heart of God and brings great joy in the house of God when we are living in harmony. You know, when things are in harmony, there is beautiful music comes forth when we are in harmony. When there's something that is out of tune and not in harmony, then we have discord. And so this morning, the desire of my heart is to share a message of harmonious living together. Harmony. I would maybe title the message, Harmony, a Symphony of Praise to God. I had to think of how that when Adam and Eve were there in the garden, they were in harmony. They were in sweet fellowship and communion with their Father. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about this matter of harmony. It tells us in Romans how that the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look at that scripture and look at the living paraphrase of the scriptures, it says that the Lord would grant you to live in such mutual harmony and full sympathy with one with another according to Christ Jesus, that together with united hearts and voice and praise you may glorify God your Father. There's another one in 1 Corinthians 1 that we could also refer to. And there he says, I beseech you, in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 10, verse 10, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And again, that speaks of harmony, that you all be in perfect harmony and in agreement and unity. Harmony. I think of Adam and Eve there in the garden and how they were in fellowship and there was harmony with their Maker, with their Heavenly Father. Adam and Eve in the garden having sweet fellowship and communion with God. God walking with them in the garden and in fellowship together until that awful day when sin entered the world through disobedience of one man, the Bible says. And therefore sin passed upon all men. And I consider this morning how that because of sin, there is a lot of discord, disunity, disharmony between man and God. And God is calling each one of us and all the world to be reconciled to Him through Jesus Christ. When we think of the broken lives and we think of the broken pieces of humanity through going their own way and living in sin, it reminds me of the poem of the old violin. I did bring a few objects this morning to maybe help us grasp some of these things. And it is my prayer that these objects, these illustrations, can just be a blessing and help us to grasp the message. So I will get a few of those objects now as we consider the matter of harmony and living in harmony. I have here a violin, and in order for things to be in harmony, the strings need to be tuned to their proper pitches, or we don't have harmony. So we have a note there that's a little bit flat, so we raise it up a little bit. And when we think of lives that are battered by sin and are out of tune, this poem fits very well. The old violin and the touch of the master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good people, he cried. Who starts the bidding for me? $1? $1, do I hear two? $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three? But no, from far back in the room, a gray-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure, sweet as the angels sing. When the music ceased, the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now what am I bid for this old violin?" And he held it aloft with its bow. 1,000? 1,000, do I hear? 1,000, 2? 2,000, who make it 3? 3,000 once? 3,000 twice? "Going and gone," he said. The audience cheered, but some of them cried. "We don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. Many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardship, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, and a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, and he's almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. You know, as we look around us in this world, there are many lives that are out of tune. Their lives are battered. And their hearts are sad. And their chords are out of tune. They are sick with sin. Broken and battered. But God, in Christ Jesus, is holding forth redemption. No life is so out of tune, so far gone, that the touch of the Master's hand can't bring redemption. I thought of the hymn, "Rescue the Perishing." Verse 3 is, "Down in the human heart, crushed by the temper, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened with kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more." Harmony. Oh, it's beautiful. Harmony. When we're in tune with our God, and there's peace, soul peace and rest, communion and fellowship. Oh, it's a lovely place. But a life out of tune makes a very unpleasant experience of life. We're going to have a few examples, and this message is not about music today, so if you'll try to stay with me, when we think of a life out of tune, and lives out of tune, where there's discord. To give you an audio example, we'll have track 7. It's out of tune. Anyone recognize the hymn? Yes. What we have is a number of different instruments playing the same song, but they're all playing to their own tune. Their own tuning, they're using their own reference of tuning. So the first step for a life that is in tune, we must go by the absolute standard of reference. The A440. And to bring application to this A440, the A440 is the Word of God. It's what God has given us that we may look into the Word of God and we may find God's absolute sovereignty, His absolute unchangeableness, His absolute immutability of who He is and His love for His people that He has created. And when we look into the Word of God and we tune each of our lives to the standard of the A440, then when we play together, we will be in harmony. We will be in tune. So if we could have that same track in harmony. The instruments are now all tuned to A440. Track 11. That much more pleasant. And you know, so it is in our lives. When we are all tuned to the Master's A440, to the Master's standard, to the absolutes of God, then when we come together, we make beautiful symphony of praise. And it's so cheerful. It is just so encouraging. Well, God has given us differing gifts. Brother Mike, that children's lesson was wonderful. How that you need all those different tools. When I think of the body of Christ and how God has made each of us different, and given each one differing gifts. You know, we think of different instruments. Now, I will not try to play this instrument. I wouldn't know how. This is a flute. Am I right? Somebody verify? I think that's what it is. And this is borrowed. You see, in my shop at home, I don't carry hammers and saws, but I use microphones and recording equipment to record music. And so I brought a few things from my shop, musical examples, and some friends were kind enough to allow me to borrow some of their instruments. So now, here we have a flute. So let's hear that flute all by itself, track one. All right, there's just a little clip. Now let's hear track two. Okay, track two is the violin. They sound a little bit similar, but they're very distinctly different. And so each one of us in this room this morning, God has made us each individual and has given each one gifts and graces to be used and to be exercised in the body. Now that violin was not playing melody. The violin was playing a harmony part. The flute that we heard first was playing the melody. Alright, now let's hear track three, or just a moment. I need another object here before we go to track three. See, the diversity of different instruments is what makes a beautiful, harmonious sound together, and a beautiful balance and blend. You know, you could have a lot of melody with the same instrument playing all the parts, but it actually wouldn't sound the same at all. Now let's hear track 3. Okay, that is a cello. I did not have a cello. This is a little bigger. This is actually a bass. And for those of you who have been to the Messiah and you have seen the musicians there, they play a bass along in that piece. And that makes beautiful balance to the music. All right, and then we'll go ahead with track 4. Okay, I was unable to get one of those, but it is a viola. The viola is a bit bigger than a violin. It's between the cello and the violin. It's not near as big as a cello, but it's quite a bit bigger than a violin. And so the viola was playing a harmony part, and I believe that was the alto part. And now if we have track 5, I didn't bring this instrument along, and you'll know why. Okay, track 5, there was a piano. And the piano is playing a chord foundation that just fills out the entire balance of the music. It is not leading, but it's playing a chord foundation. All right, now let's hear track 6, and we'll go from there. Go ahead. Okay, there's something wrong there with track 6. It is a flute and a violin, but they are each playing to their own tuning. Now, when you heard it individually by themselves, it was okay. But as soon as you bring them together, they're not able to mesh and harmonize. There is discord. That reminds me of the scripture, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can there be unity and beautiful harmony unless there's agreement? Unless we are tuned to the A440. And when you tune each one to the A440, then when you come together, there's beautiful harmony. We are looking to the same standard of reference. That reminds me of Christians sometimes who say, you know, I can do fine, just me and the Lord. I mean, I can make beautiful symphony of praise, just me and the Lord. But when I get together with this other person, there's a problem. Well, we need to tune our hearts and our lives to God's absolute standard of A440. And then when we get together, we can have sweet fellowship. And we can have unity and harmony together. I just dropped all my notes. I'm a little nervous. I hope you give me grace for this. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Paul was speaking last Sunday about being over the top for Jesus, and I thought, well, maybe I'll be over the top a little with my illustrations this morning. But the burden of my heart is that we grasp the absolute necessity of our lives being tuned to the Master's A440, and that we live in harmony and blessing together. All right, we have a lot of other instruments that we can look at as well. But let me check my notes. See if I can make any order to this. Harmony. Oh, sweet harmony. You want to get practical with this message? I think maybe before we go on to the practical side, I'll go to a few other illustrations. If I can find my reference paper on it. There's a number of things that are taking place whenever we are making beautiful harmony together. We are tuned to the A440, but we also have our music. We have our music that we follow. And the flutist doesn't try to play the piano part. And the cello doesn't try to play the violin part. But we all have our own part to play. And we must follow the music. And brothers and sisters, the music, the written music, is the written Word of God. And we must follow the written Word of God. Then secondly, there is a conductor. When you attend a musical performance where there's a lot of musicians in the choir, you will have a man standing on a little platform down there, and he will be conducting all the musicians in the choir. And the musicians must keep their eye on their music, one eye on the music, and the other eye on the conductor. So they will often set their music so that they can see it, and out of the peripheral they can see the conductor. And they are watching the conductor very carefully for the tempo and for the mood and the feel and all of those things. Who's the conductor? The Lord Jesus Christ is our conductor. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the one who we must follow, whose eye must be kept upon Him. He is the conductor. Now, in music, there are times when certain instruments will be silent. They will not play at that moment. Then they will come in just at the right time, or the conductor directs them to come in again. And I believe it's that way in the Christian life. Can anybody think of a verse from the Scripture that speaks of that? You know, there's a time to speak. There's a time to be silent. You know, there's a time to wait on the Lord and a time to pray. But there's a time to speak also. And there's a time to exhort. So when we are following the master conductor's directions, we will not play out of sync. We will stay together in timing. Have you ever been in a room where you're too far spread and you're worshiping the Lord and this side over here gets a little bit ahead or behind, you know, and it gets off and it starts to overlap? We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, our conductor. We have many different personalities, many different gifts that God has given to us in the body. And here I have a harp. This is a Marini-made harp. And again, I can't play it, so he'll play a little piece for you. Go ahead. Isn't that nice? You know, some instruments are really pretty solo. They can carry the whole thing. You know, a harp is that way in the hand of a skilled musician. And you know, that's how it is in the body of Christ. There are some members in the body that God has given 10 talents. Some He has given 2. I don't play very well. If I tried to play this harp, I think you'd all want to hold your ears. But you know, some people are more talented and gifted in certain areas. But the important thing is that we are content and satisfied with the gift that God has given us, and that we use that gift and we exercise that gift and bring a contribution to the whole. The next one, I don't have an object here, but go ahead with track 13. That's sort of maybe almost shrill and a lot of danging going on by itself. That's a hammer dulcimer. Go ahead with 14. Track 14. Lovely. That is a flute. And the flute is playing the leading role in that section of music. The flute is playing the melody. Now we have a supporting role here with another instrument. Go ahead with track 15. Okay, now that is a supporting role playing the chord and adding some tempo. It's setting the tempo of the song. You know, and some of us, we have different roles. We're not maybe the front lead part, but the role we are playing is very important. And as we're tuned together, going to make beautiful music. We'll hear this all together in a little bit. Let's hear 18. I'm sorry, no, what's it? Yeah, let's hear 17. We don't want to miss that one. This is a background effect role in the music. Go ahead with. Now that's adding a very background piece to the music, and it's adding a sense of, to me, as you hear it in the music, it's adding a sense of sort of serenity and peaceableness. Now hearing it alone, it sort of sounds maybe fast and so forth, but if that's applied gently in the background, it just adds a sense of serenity to the music. Okay, now we have track 18, and that'll be a harp. Now the harp in this case is adding the foundational chord structure like the piano would in other cases on certain songs. So there we have the foundation. Now let's see. We have track 19. Let's hear that. I'm not quite sure what that is. We'll find out. Okay, that is again a lead and an accompaniment, backup. It's sort of a backup part. And let's hear track 20. Okay, again, that is some accompaniment and some leading part, some melody part. And so all together of these that we heard on track 21. Can you hear all those parts in there? You hear that little hammer dulcimer tapping real fast? you hear the flute, you hear the guitar, you hear the harp, you hear all the different parts, and they all add together into one beautiful harmonious piece. And the Lord God is concerned about you and I, brother and sister, that our lives be in tune with Him, so that we are not discording, but that there's harmony in our lives. And that harmony can only come through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. First, we have to have that relationship with God restored, where we are in harmony with our Creator. And then secondly, that we are in harmony one with another. And in order to do that, we need to be in tune to God's standard. God's A440, the Word of the Lord. Let's bring some practicality to this message. We will look at a few different areas. I'm going to talk to us husbands first. We know these verses very well, but if you want to reference them or turn to them, it's Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, that speaks of giving up my life for my wife. He gave Himself up for her, for the church. In Ephesians 5:33, it talks about, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife even as himself. You know, could there be discording in your marriage, husband, because you are not following the music that God has written so that there can be harmony in your marriage? Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward your wife. Is there disharmony in your marriage because you're not following the music? You are writing your own music. Or is there disharmony because you're not tuned to the absolute standard of God's A440? Of it is written. Could there be discording in your relationship because of what it tells us in Peter? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Are you living considerately with your wife? Do you consider her? Do you recognize her role? A weaker vessel, but heirs together of the grace of life. Is there disharmony? Let's have the disharmony. Is there disharmony? That's enough of that, isn't it? We couldn't endure the whole verse. Disharmony. Oh, but how beautiful it is when husbands are living considerately of their wife, giving honor to their wife. The woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Her husband rises up and he praises her. Oh, when there's love in the relationship and there's no bitterness, no resentment. Your wife is the darling of your eye. Harmony. Let's hear that one. Harmony. Jesus, Lord, I want a marriage like that, don't you? Where we are flowing with the master conductor's direction. We're not stoic and set in concrete that we can't move and feel for my spouse, her needs, her desires, her longings. And consider it, and the music flows. Is the music flowing in your relationship with your wife, husband? Or is there discord and disharmony? Talk a little bit to the wives. I should let my wife do this. It's hard. But we have the word of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, is there discord in your marriage because you are not following the music? You are not playing according to as it is written. I'll make my own improvision. I'll play it the way I want to. Especially that part. Everything. So let the wives be subject unto their husbands in everything. Is there disharmony? Because as Ephesians 5:33 says, the wife is to see that she reverences her husband, respects her husband, regards him and prefers him and esteems him and admires him exceedingly. Wives, is there harmony in your relationship or is there discord? 1 Peter 3 talks about it. That you wives be in subjection unto your own husbands. Is that a hard word to hear? Subjection. Be in subjection to your own husband. No, not her husband. Your husband. God gave you your husband. Oh, that they may behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Your chaste conversation. Your manner of life. 1 Peter goes on to say, drawing an illustration from the Old Testament concerning Sarah. He says that Sarah, she obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. She followed his guidance, acknowledging his headship over her, calling him Lord, Master, Authority. And you are now the true daughters of Abraham. If you follow in her steps, in her example, And let nothing terrify you, not giving way to fear or anxieties, but trust God that God is sovereign. And if I will play according to the music, God, sovereign Lord, will take care of my husband. Is that too strong? You know, Sarah, she did a hard thing. Abraham asked a hard thing of Sarah. But she obeyed Abraham because she trusted that God is bigger than my husband's failures, folly. But you know, it takes faith to stand there. It takes faith. Fears want to come in. Anxieties. Take matters into my hands, as Brother George shared in the message this morning, and then we lose our place of confidence and faith and rest. Is there discord in your marriage, O wife, because you're not obeying the written word of the Lord? And it sounds like this: discord. Discord. It's always tense. Always just grating. It's just rubbing the wrong way. Oh, it just clashes. Or, my dear sister, is it like this? Harmony. Harmony. Jesus, that's the marriage you want, isn't it? Where every part, every word of God is being applied. The deep, low, hard things. The beautiful foundations that God has laid concerning a marriage relationship. And all those joyful, happy times where the flute just sort of dances around and it's joy. Oh, that's what we want. I know you do. Well, we need to talk to us fathers a little bit. Fathers, is there disharmony? Is there discord? Because you're not playing according to the music. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to wrath or to anger. Do not exasperate them, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and counsel and admonition of the Lord. It's a high calling, fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Colossians 3:21. Lest they become discouraged. Feel inferior, frustrated. They're provoked to discouragement. I can never do anything right. I can never please my dad. The standard is always just a little higher. Is there strife? Is there discord because I as a father am not playing according to as it is written. Yes, fathers, correct your son. Correct your son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. This doesn't mean that we don't bring correction. It doesn't mean that we just be a pushover. Oh, but it means our hearts are turned toward our children. Oh, ye fathers, hearts are turned to your children. And there's nurture, there's admonition, there's training, there's counsel, there's instruction, and there's love. Fathers, is your relationship with your youth, your son, your daughter, discording? And it sounds like this. Discord. And it's strained. It hurts. It's out of tune. Could it be part of the reason, fathers, dads, it's because I'm not playing according to as it is written? But oh, we want the joyful sound. Fathers who are bringing their children up in nurture, in admonition, in discipline, in counsel, in the wisdom and the admonition of the Lord, so that our relationships can be harmonious and blended like this. No greater joy than my children walking truth. No greater joy than for there to be healthy, wholesome relationships. And there's harmony. Tuned to God's A440. God's standard. Could it be that there's disharmony because we are not playing according to as it is written? You need to talk to your children a little bit. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey. Do we need a Greek definition? I think we know what obey means. Could it be, children, that there's disharmony? There's discording? Because you are not obeying your parents. Or you're not honoring your parents. Honor your father and your mother. How is it in your heart toward your dad and your mom? Honor means to esteem and to value as precious. How's your heart toward your dad? How's your heart toward your mom? Is there honor and esteem? Is there value? Oh, my dad is so precious. He's a gift from God to me. I know He loves me. He cares for me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1, Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, even a child is known by his doings. Didn't we sing that just this morning in the children's lesson? Children, can I have your attention? Children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord in all things, for this is right. Do you talk back to mom and dad? Do you argue? Do you make a fuss? Or do you say, yes, mommy? Yes, dad? Children, obey your parents in all things. How many things? A child, tell me. How many things? Yes. All things. Thank you, Destiny. All things. You know, I don't think that leaves anything out, does it? You want to be pleasing to the Lord, children? You want to make the Lord happy and a big smile? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. How is your relationship with your mother and your father? Children. Is there discord because I talk back? I don't want to do it. And your relationship sounds like this? All discord. Oh, that's awful. I don't want to hear any more of that. Do you? God bless you, children. Young people. Let's play according to the music as it is written. Well, we could talk about a lot more things. Maybe we'll just talk about very briefly. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters. Is there discord in your relationship with your boss? Because your boss is not very smart. He doesn't know how to do it the best. I have a better idea. I'm going to do it my way, and he's not looking. Is there discord in your relationship? Disharmony with your master? Masters? Masters, you bosses, you do the same thing, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. How much do I have to obey the boss? Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And if your boss is a little slow and he doesn't, you know, he maybe not quite as smart as you are, you obey him anyway. And you make your boss shine. Make him prosper by the wisdom God has given you in using it rightly and properly and under his authority. Well, Just a quick review. In order to have harmony in our relationships, we must all be tuned to God's A440. Do we believe this morning that the Bible is the Word of God and is the absolute authority and is not to be trifled with and it shall stand? Do we believe that? The Word that God has spoken is spoken. And what God has spoken is spoken in absolute authority, and heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word is going to stand. So if there's discord in my life, if there's disharmony, maybe I need to have a new respect and reverence toward the Word of God. But look at one other one real quick. Are you in harmony with your brothers and your sisters in the local assembly, in the local body that God has placed you in? I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. For it has been declared unto me of you, brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Are there contentions? Are there offenses that are standing? Are there oughts that are standing? And they stand there and they hinder you and they hinder me from being in harmony and unity with my brothers and my sisters. God has many things to say to us about church life, and I don't have time to go into all of it. But you know, the Bible says if you come to the altar to offer a gift to God and you remember that your brother hath ought against thee, it's so important to take care of these human relationships that are out of harmony that He says, leave your gift. Don't go through the motions of offering some sort of gift and making prayers, but go and first be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift, and then God will receive your gift. So I urge us today, this is very important. God is very concerned about these things. The testimony of God is at stake. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you have love one for another, when there's peace, when there's harmony, when there's love, that forbears, that forgives, that suffers, that denies itself. So as we come to the close of this message, are there discords in your relationship with God, first and foremost? Are you out of harmony with your Creator God? Are you out of harmony with your wife? Is there discord in your marriage? Wife, are you out of harmony with your husband? Children, I'm sorry, not children at this point yet. Are you out of harmony with your children, fathers, your son, your daughter, your youth? Children, are you out of harmony with your father, with your mother? And there's tension and strife and discord. Are you out of harmony with your brother in the church, with your sister in your church, with your master in the workplace? Is there self-will? I'm going to play it my way. Sounds great when I'm playing by myself. Only problem is, when my brother comes along, then there's discord. Why? Let us take a good look into our own hearts. Am I tuned to the A440? Or am I playing it my way, my own interpretation? In fact, those first demonstrations we played, the instruments were all playing according to the music. The flute, the violin, the cello, the viola, and the piano were all playing according to the music, but they were all pitch shifted out of key. So I can play well by myself. You can even identify the song. You can even recognize the song, right? This is my Father's world, right? We recognize the music. So, me and Jesus got our own thing going. I don't need anybody else to interfere with my plans. I can get along just fine with me and Jesus, but, oh, my brother, my dad, my wife, my boss, my elder. You know, are we playing according to the music? Highly esteem those who labor among you. Are we playing according to the music? And I don't say that for my sake. I say it for you all's sake, for all of us together. Because if there's going to be a blessing in our lives and harmony, we need to be able to esteem and honor our elders. If you have your preacher for dinner in a negative way in front of your children, don't be surprised when they grow up. They'll have a lot more negativity to say. And they may never find themselves able to fit into a body of believers because there was always something wrong with those preachers. There was always something wrong with those elders. And praise God, we have freedom. We get to be here if we want to. I don't have to be your elder. But if you come here, I have an obligation and a responsibility to shepherd the flock, to preach the word, to warn, to admonish, to exhort, to encourage with all long-suffering and doctrine, to be gentle with you, to not strive, to be an example by God's grace. Oh Lord, help us. You know, all must play their part. Follow the conductor. Don't ever get your eyes off the conductor. The master conductor, the Lord Jesus Christ. That it may be home, sweet home for you. Oh, how happy the home. There's joy on every hand. Beauty all around. Joy in every sound because there's love at home. And time does softly, sweetly glide when there's love at home. When everything is in tune. And we're making beautiful symphony of praise and harmony to God. And the world looks on and says, wow. Do you see how that family relates together? Do you see how those children honor their parents? Do you see how those parents love their children? I mean, they act like they like each other. 16 years old, 17, 18, 13, 14, whatever age you put in there, they're not going through the rebellious stage. They love their mom and their dad. Wow. That's a light. That's a salt. And God is glorified and praised. Wow. Do you see how those brothers and sisters love each other? Wow, there's beautiful things happening at that church. Who wants to go where there's strife and contention? But are we playing according to as it is written? Ah, yes. So as we close the message here today, is there strife in any of your relationships? Discord? Disharmony? Is there areas that are out of tune? You see, the Master can tune us up when we come and we repent. That's not very musical. I'm not sure which one to tune. I have to use this, right? Oh, then I know which one to tune. Let's see here. I don't play violin, so bear with me. Oh yes, that's the A right there. Gotta check our reference again. Can't remember it that long. A little sharp. It takes patience to tune an instrument. Pretty close, I'll leave it for now. A little bit flat yet, I believe, but you know, the Master wants to tune your life up in harmony with Himself and in harmony with your human relationships. So that we can make beautiful music to the Lord. So before we close here today, I don't want this message just to be a tickling to our ears. I struggled a little with that, with all these objects, all these musical examples. But I want to say to you today, if your life is out of harmony and is in discord, come to Jesus. Don't go on this way. You know, maybe even if it's just a little bit flat and it's just discording a little bit, I encourage us to go to the standard of the Master's A440 and just seek with a pure heart to be tuned up with God and to love the music that He's written. And follow it closely. Because it will yield a blessing. And keep your eye on the Master Conductor. Let's kneel together for prayer. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that You would just speak in Your gentle, loving voice to my heart. To the heart of my brothers and sisters. Am I out of tune? That's why there's this discord. Am I not playing according as it is written? Oh, Father, have mercy upon us. Father, I pray if there's any relationships that are on the edge, about ready to fall over the cliff into the abyss. Oh Lord, have mercy. It's Your goodness that shows us our hearts, shows us our selfishness, shows us our pride, shows us our rebellion, our stubbornness and iniquity, so God, our sins. So Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that by Your Holy Spirit You would put Your finger upon our sin, our need, that those out of tune areas can be tuned up and we can be blessed with beautiful, harmonious symphony of praise in our families, at our workplace, in our church services and gatherings together, in our marriages, Lord, with our sons and our daughters, and all together we're in tune, making beautiful melody and harmony. And we're a testimony and a light to the world who is broken, out of tune, crushed, discouraged, in depression, and yes, some even committing suicide because they are so tired of life being out of tune. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to redeem us and to save us and to rescue the perishing, and those heartstrings that are broken, those cords can vibrate once more. Thank you, Lord God. And Father, I pray that for this congregation, you would take us on from where we are. Help us to not allow things in our lives that are out of tune and cause disharmony. Oh, Lord. But tune us up, Lord. I pray our marriages may radiate and harmonize the beautiful glory of God. I pray that our homes, there may be harmony and love, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, unity, and a beautiful sweet melody of music of all the members in the family in tune and following the music and the master conductor. Lord, I ask for that in Jesus' name. I thank you for this time we could have together. Bless the Father sharing and whatever we do to your honor and glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Thank you for allowing me to share. I love you. I'm not mad at you. I'm so happy to be a part of this body. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. That illustration. And I was thinking that, you know, one of the most first things you have to do if something's out of harmony is you have to recognize it. And I've found that in my relationships in life, the great benefit to acknowledging when I wasn't playing the right notes. That seems to help everybody else to say where they weren't playing the right notes. So often it seems like we worry about the other guy playing the right notes. But that wouldn't work very well in a symphony. No, I've got to follow the music and make sure I'm playing the right note. God gives grace to the humble. We all know when one of the wrong notes was hit, right? Do we know that? We do. And the other people especially know it when we hit the wrong one. God gives grace to the humble. I was wrong. I played the wrong note. Sorry. Would you forgive me? Praise God, He can work with that. We had a speaker here years ago who said when he counsels husbands and wives, he'll ask them, who's more spiritual? People that are having trouble. And of course, they both think they're more spiritual than the other one. He says, well, the most spiritual is the one who does what God said, who makes the first move. So many of these things are interrelated, aren't they? It's harder to love your wife when she's resistant. It's harder to submit to your husband when he's so selfish and doesn't love you. And so they're interrelated. And if you think you're more spiritual than your husband or your wife, show it. Follow the music. Make the first move. That is the one who's most spiritual. You know, in an orchestra, if every person would just focus on playing their part, that would be much more beneficial and lead to greater speed in getting harmony and unity than in being the example of following the music than condemning the other guy who just hit a bad note again. So Lord, help us to be spiritual. Do what He said. Amen. Let's make it easier for each other. Let's not make it harder. I also thought of the, how many have ever gone to the Messiah, Handel's Messiah thing, sing-along? I really like to go to that. But did you know that those people do not rehearse for that ever? That group of people never practice together. At home, they practice their parts because they have the same music. And when they all get together, they all pay attention to the same conductor. And that's amazing to me how they can do that. And that's a picture of us as a church, you know. We have our quiet times. We meet with the Lord. We have a relationship where we're following, and then we get together and God can do something amazing, even more in a whole church of people who are doing that than just me by myself. Multiplication. That's the beauty of the church. By ourselves, we can only do so much. A violin is a beautiful instrument, but you put it together with all those other things in the Messiah, and it's multiplied. So let's be that. Amen. Maybe somebody has a comment, maybe somebody has a confession. Maybe you've been out of tune somewhere. You want to just confess it. And you want to get that thing tuned up right. So we want to give a time for that. Or maybe you have a testimony of some beautiful harmony that God has allowed you to be a part of. Right over here.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for that message. I appreciated it, and I think the practical... I guess it's not visual, it's mostly audio that you gave us today, helps us to understand the beauty of harmony and how terrible discord is. And I realize these pictures can be taken in different ways, and this is a slightly different application, but the few times that I've watched an orchestra, either at the Messiah or otherwise, I've listened or watched as all of the musicians tuned their instruments to the lead soprano. Usually there is a violinist who is the lead soprano violinist, and usually for about 10 minutes before they begin performing, you hear this sort of interesting sounding hum while the lead violinist, you know, plays a note that everyone else tunes to. And I was thinking about the fact that, for example, at the Messiah, you have a bunch of accomplished musicians there who some of them have played for 20 years, and they no doubt tune their instruments before they come, and they know, you know, how to tune an instrument. But still, when they sit together, there's a need to fine-tune around that lead soprano. Otherwise, even the slightest bit of variation would sound very discordant when they began playing together. And I think of that as in the church. And yes, there is one conductor, but we also have lead sopranos. And the need when we gather together to sort of tune ourselves, you know, around that lead soprano and fine-tune ourselves, even if we have 20 years of experience in our instrument, and even if we've been playing that instrument at home and tuning it according to God's Word, the need to fine-tune around our leaders and our brothers so that, you know, we play with real beauty. Amen. And thank you, Brother Aaron, for that message. It was very meaningful.
Yeah, I would also like to thank Aaron for the message. One of the things that crossed my mind in a practical way is that each of the instruments looks very different from each other. You know, the flute could look at the double bass and say, "You're fat and red and have a long neck," and, you know, not appreciate the double bass for who they are. And double bass could say to the flute, "Well, you're cold and hard," and, you know. But it's as each instrument, you know, appreciates. It's as we appreciate the gifts and the sound that God gave us, that He made us unique, that true beauty can be expressed. and it's not just flutes or just double basses. So.
Amen. Thank you for that. That's good. Up here?
I was just thinking of tuning together. What does it take to tune together? There's a couple of verses that came to my mind. One was, we have to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts to actually become tuned together. As Aaron was instructing the men and the women here and the children, I had to think, well, how does that start? And a couple of verses came to my mind. It says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And in Psalms it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto your word. I thought that's just a couple of verses that really back up what Aaron was saying here. God bless you.
Amen. There's one there. I'm out of sync. I don't think I'm in tune. And this, the Lord spoke to my heart with being in tune with my elders. I'm just sharing it with you and confessing it. I don't know how to be in tune in that area. I guess I need to believe first. That's what the Bible says, and I want to believe it. I look to the Lord to help me with this. However the Lord wants to teach me that, I'm open to that, and I'm thankful, however that'll be.
God bless you, Eve. We love you.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for this message this morning. I had to think as you went through the message there, I thought of just the picture of maybe this church in the last 12 years or so as an orchestra. And there have been some times when we were out of tune. And I'm looking forward to this coming brothers meeting. We're going to be searching out some of those discordant chords, and we want to tune them up. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to go back and look at some of those instruments that were making the discordant notes. And we're going to be acknowledging that and tune them up a bit, if we can, by God's grace. So looking forward to the brothers' meeting.
Don't miss it. It's going to be a blessing. Yeah, go ahead, Luke.
I want to thank you, Aaron, for that message. I think you've been right on all of it. I've been convicted where I need to fine-tune with my brothers in the church and one another. I was waiting for that verse almost from the beginning. By this shall all men know you are my disciples when you have love for one another. That is the greatest witnessing tool that we have been given. For the Lord has been given, and that should be what the church stands for, and that's what is a message that we have to give to the world. The message is Jesus, but Jesus gives that to the world through us when we show love for one another. And I know I failed in that in many areas. I know I've often thought of the Bible as a history book, and it is, how God created the world, and then how the Redeemer, well, man fell, and then how the Redeemer came to change that, to set things right. And now many of us are looking for a time in heaven when we're done with all this sin and all these problems and so on, or when Jesus will come back and reign and make things right. But I've become to realize more and more that when Jesus came the first time, he brought the kingdom of God here, and we are invited to be a part of that. So we are now a part of that kingdom of God. And much of the Bible, we have instructions how we need to get right with the Lord. But much of the Bible is how our relationships need to be with one another. And that's what this here, Jesus is building that kingdom now, setting things right now within us so that we can work together. We can't expect it all the way into heaven to all these things be brought in tune. He is tuning us up now if we would just listen. And that tune is very fine. I don't know if Aaron mentioned it all, but he used the word 440 many times. But I don't think he explained what that is. If I'm not wrong, can you imagine moving your finger 440 times a minute? Well, that's way too slow. The 440 stands for 440 vibrations per second, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, I'd just like to share what God just laid on my heart after hearing Brother Aaron give us a beautiful sermon. And also what Brother Emmanuel just said is, if we want to be in harmony, we have to have a will to surrender. A will. Not our will, but God's will. The pure will. The sovereign one, the Redeemer, the one we're going to be with forever someday. The one that I want to answer to. The one I want to be an example of. And I want to be a part of that family. And we're family here. And I think that's why we get to come to church on Sunday. We get to pray to God. We don't have to, but we get to. It's an honor to pray to Jesus Christ. It's an honor to live for His commandments. And it's an honor to shine for Him. There's nobody in this church I want to shine for, but I do want to shine for Jesus Christ. We're a family. We got to be humble. We got to forgive each other. We got to love each other. And we got to unite together in harmony. We can't go our own way. Or if we are, we're not listening to the God I know. And I just ask you to pray for me. I don't want to go any other way. I want to only go with God. And I know you all do too. You can't tell me you don't want to be more like God. You do. Because He lives in each and every one of us. That's the kind of God I want to share the world to. That's the kind of God we all know. And we all can get to know better. So thank you very much for letting me be part of your life.
Well, I was just thinking about how when our husbands go off to work, we often find ourselves as the lead soprano in the home. And when we're the first important role thing is to be in tune, playing our piece right, playing the right notes in our instruments. And then it takes quite a bit of time that feels like wasted time when we have an agenda for homeschooling and keeping the house in order. And when we get that as our focus, we soon end up out of tune. But when I focus on the most important thing in this day is to keep us all in tune. And it takes some time to get everybody fine-tuned. Sometimes we have to have a meeting in the living room again and get all fine-tuned. It feels like it takes a lot of time some days to get the out-of-tune notes worked on. But it works so much better than the rest of the day if we take care of the tuning first and is the priority. Or the rest of the week, maybe it takes a couple days to get some notes in the right tune. But as we work on that, it's such a beauty to have a symphony, and it's worth it.
Amen.
I just wanted to thank Brother Ephraim for his courage in making a confession. Prompted me to do the same. I want to confess that for 29 years now, I've been dishonoring my earthly dad. And earlier this week, in my heart, not with my mouth, but just in my heart. He's not a believer. If anything, he's a very liberal Jewish man. He's a jazz saxophonist. He still is. He's 69 years old. He plays in clubs right now in Georgia. He's also an undercover narcotics agent. And that lifestyle led he and my mom to divorce years ago. And earlier this week, I came to a point where I was just so hurting and so needing answers. And I got good answers from my elders. But I felt I needed more. I needed to really talk and connect. And of all people, God said, call your dad. So I said, Dad, what would you do in my situation? I called him on the phone. I was sitting in the chicken house office doing a repair. I just kind of put my little speakerphone on. I was working on this machine and listening to my dad. Not sure what to expect, but I just thought, God, I'm just going to do this. I feel I need to honor him. And somehow I, as a dad, am honored when my children ask advice. I don't know why that is that way, but I just feel honored. And it took a long time to fix this machine. I had plenty of time. I couldn't go anywhere else. And I listened to my dad, probably for the first time since I became a Christian. I felt I had a right not to listen to him because of his life. And for an hour I listened as God gave this man wisdom. From the school of hard knocks. And I was just so blessed in my soul to listen to him. Well, he was pretty nervous and sent me an email, I think it was either that night or the next day, saying, son, if there's anything I said that was wrong, or I've offended you, or I used Jesus' name in a wrong way, or he says, I'm pretty rough. I'm pretty rough around the edges. But I gave you everything I know. I gave you my heart. And all I could tell him was, thank you, Dad. For just being my dad. Because I'm not doing a lot of things right either these days. So I was just very thankful that, I don't remember what you call it, Brother Aaron, A440 or whatever. That little verse, honor your father, was such a blessing. Something I so desperately want, God was saying, you need to give. So I just wanted to confess that sin to my brothers and sisters, and I ask you to pray for me. Because I want to carefully honor my dad, who's not a believer, but he has things to offer me. And I say this because you might even meet him soon. He's hoping to come visit, and you were all very gracious to my brother who was here and lived with us for a while. And I'm not saying my dad's going to live with me, but he said he would like to visit my world. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but kind of like my younger brother, and I suppose if you could see into my, or maybe see beneath my outward polished ways, we Keens are a bit rough around the edges. But I thank you for loving my brother, and I trust you'll do the same for my dad if he should visit. Thank you, too, just for being a body of friends. And thank you for a very clear, precious message, actually several of them, the children's message and the opening, they just all blended together. It's a blessing to be here.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing. Beautiful to see God work. Maybe we can just pray for a minute. Can we do that? Thank you for working in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. Thank you for this testimony. We ask you, Lord, to use this humbling of Jeff towards his dad. And Jeff in our midst. To pour grace into his life, Lord. And
grace of God, blessing, to undertake, Lord, to work and to do Your beautiful supernatural things that only You can do, Lord. We agree together that You would continue to be able to do that and be glorified. To show Yourself strong, Lord, even to bring Jeff's dad to be a Christian, to get born again. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.